This is Triple M's Rush Hour.
Oh, Billy, how do we talk about Spud? Mm. Where do you start?
Exactly.
He was, I'll tell you what Spud was, Bill. He was an irresistible force of nature. I always say that Spud lived his life like the choke on his car was jammed on full.
Yep.
Yeah, his engine just revved so hard. So many times I remember over the years saying to him, Spud, relax, mate.
Yeah.
But he couldn't. He just wasn't wired to relax. If and you were with him so many times. If we're all walking somewhere, he had to get there first. If we all got into our cars to drive somewhere, he had to arrive before anyone else.
Yep.
It was hardwired into Spud to win anything he was doing.
So competitive.
And so, therefore, there's no surprise that he was such a ferocious on-field competitor.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was his whole life.
Yep.
Cards, getting into a lift. He had to get in first. He had to get out first.
Golf, whatever it was.
It did not. He had this incredible presence, Bill. After a couple of hours with Spud, you were knackered.
Yep.
Weren't you? Because he never stopped talking and he always talked really loudly.
And it was hard, I reckon, Jim, if you're commentating with his special comments.
Yep.
Because he would chip
he
in.
Would.
Mate, all
just talk over the top because he couldn't help himself.
That's right. Exactly.
That's just what he was like. And the other thing he did was he laughed loudly.
Yeah.
And he laughed all the time.
Yeah, he did.
And it was the most infectious laugh.
It was.
You found yourself laughing because he was laughing.
That's right. And some of his stuff wasn't that funny. But you're laughing because of his laugh.
Often wasn't that funny.
Exactly.
And we're going to get to that, of course.
Yeah, we will.
He loved footy.
Yep.
He loved his mates.
Yep.
But most of all, Bill, he loved and was so proud of his family. He spoke all the time about his beautiful mum and dad,
who
we all met and had the great pleasure of meeting many times. He spoke a lot about his brothers and his sisters, about his life growing up at Bungaree, about their kids.
Bungaree.
And how proud he was of Chip Frawley, for instance, all of his nieces and nephews. But mostly fat.
Yep.
And this is where it gets hard for you and me.
Bloody oath.
He loved his girls.
Anita and his girls.
He loved them. He worshipped the girls in his life. He never, ever stopped talking about all four of them.
Yep.
About the girls going over and doing what they've done amazingly in the States.
Growing.
You know, two of them. Beautiful Danielle, but Anita, who was the rock around which he lived.
Yep.
And God, what a magnificent woman Anita Frawley is, by the way. And those three beautiful girls, Fat, we send them every single bit of love we have because they will be doing it so tough. And sadly, I know that from what's happened in my own life. But so those beautiful girls, we just want to throw our arms around them and make sure they're okay. But Spud was a warm, loving, loyal man who would do anything for you if you were a mate of his.
Yep.
So, and I know you want to say some things, but Saturday will be a great on-air celebration.
Tell the people what that is, Jim.
So we've got BT, Gary, myself and Damo. It's going to be simulcast on Triple M and on SEN from 12 o'clock on Saturday. And what we're going to do is spend an hour and a half celebrating one of the most entertaining broadcasters I've ever come across.
So it's called the Sad Day Rub. 12 o'clock on Saturday.
Yep, to 1:30 and we'll just work our way through the thing, because he was unbelievably funny, beside of anything else, wasn't he?
Just on that, Jim, I reckon Spud was at his best, at his funniest, and I reckon he was happiest, was on Triple M, the Sad Day Rub. And that was with you, and that was with Brian, and with Gaz, and with Purple.
That's four.
And it used to be, you could not... You had to listen to it. It was fantastic. And Spud would have some of the worst jokes. The glass eye.
Yeah, that's
that
it.
You can't see on radio.
No, that's it.
But he'd have it bouncing around and you could just see it. You know,
the golden trumpet that he went to a toy shop to buy and then it didn't work.
Oh, and he used to add mayonnaise to his stories. We spoke about this yesterday. The chicken poo one where the bloke dumped the chicken poo
that's it.
At Richmond. And then he said, I told him off and told him to clean it up. But then I got him to bag 10 bags of chicken poo up and I took him home.
So my roses would grow nicely.
I don't think he did.
Never happened.
And I'm sure you'll play this Saturday. The team of the century, the St Kilda team of the century, where you guys would introduce him for, six years? 6 years.
Fullback of the team of the century.
Oh.
And then Gary had to write an article about St Kilda and the history of the club.
Yeah.
And that's when he rang the club and said, can you actually send me a copy of your team of the century? And he wasn't in it.
And for 6 years, he sat there and let you two introduce him. But what you said off the top was great. And it's spot on, Jim. But what it is, it's competitive. But he was so passionate.
Yep.
He was a passionate player. He loved the Saints.
Well,
when you
played a lot against him.
When you played on him, you knew you played on him. Because he hated getting beaten, as you said about him. And he was a passionate coach. Remember he'd run out with the Tigers when he was coaching, and he had the sleeves rolled up like he was in the on the farm at Bungaree, a spud farm. He had the sleeves rolled up. He's very passionate in the media, a family man, a great family man, as you said. But he's also passionate about mental health.
He was,
and he was that voice out. Yeah, that. Not a lot of blokes in the media give that. Swart has been very good.
He's been,
Wayne Swoss has been great. Spud was gave a voice to those people out there who were suffering, you know, and things like that. But and I love these stories. But the other thing I was thinking about, how many blokes, and there's not many, there's hardly ever, that have been a senior coach and done that role and done it pretty well, but then a year or two later is just a raving nut on the shows on the bounce that wasn't a great show before Spud got on. And he made that, him and Chief they made that, you know, and become this funny man, and he'd do anything for the show or for the rub or whatever
that
it
is
was.
True.
So, no, it's hard. It is hard, Jim, because we go through all these emotions, and everyone does when someone close passes.
Yep.
So you're in this disbelief. You can't believe it.
No.
But then we all do it, don't you? We could have done more. What could he have done?
Well, you desperately start thinking those sort of thoughts, and you can't stop thinking
that's
like
right.
That.
If I would have rang him, or if I, then you say why, you know, so it's tough. It's been a tough couple of days, Jimmy boy.
It has, and it will remain that way. It's not, you know, it doesn't get any easier.
No,
but
that's right.
We are, and this is appointed a Saturday from midday.
Yes.
We are going to spend an hour and a half celebrating Danny Frawley and the incredible on-air presence that he gave Triple M during those years, because he was amazing. But next, you have picked out, because that's the other thing he did. He came into this show, Rabs, every fortnight for, I reckon, four straight years.
He did.
And we never knew what the hell he was going to come with. Remember, he'd have his stupid keys and phone, and he'd just come
plonk himself down,
and then he'd just start talking, and we never knew what was going to come out of his mouth.
Never.
But you'll hear next that often it was incredible.
And as you said, Jimmy, before the break, we're going to have a look back on Spud's time with us on the Rush Hour.
Came in every fortnight, normally on a Tuesday, I reckon.
Yeah.
And often didn't come because he forgot.
Well, yes, we've got that in here, Jim.
But when he did, you and I had no idea what he was going to talk about, ever.
He'd burst in.
He would.
The door would nearly fly off the hinges. He'd burst in, plonk everything down.
Oh, my God.
What's happening, boys?
Yeah, that's it. And then he'd just start talking.
Oh, so the first one we've pulled out here, Jim, is when Spud and Damo had a foot race.
They did.
And I think it was Spud who challenged Damo.
Yes, it was.
Damo was talking about how quick he was, and Spud, being the competitive beast
he was,
I'd beat you with my eyes closed. And of course, just have a listen off the top here, because Spud resorts to violence.
And racing, Spud just clubbed him.
Oh, he has not.
Yeah, Warrior's coming back. Spud is trying to shepherd him. Come on, Warrior. Push harder.
Warrior.
Warrior's broken free. And Warrior's away. He's got a 5-metre lead, a 10-metre lead.
Oh,
and Warrior's home.
Oh,
he's home.
Warrior.
He's done it easily.
Where was Spud?
Spud Frawley. Oh, I just want to go over to the loser.
Oh, no.
Where are you going? I'm running with him. Where are you going, Spud? Going home. Piss off! Spud!
He hated getting beaten, Jim.
Bill, within 10 metres of that race, he tried to club Purple to death.
Because
he knew he couldn't win.
That's right.
So he said, well, I can't win. He's not going to walk off. And he literally tried to grab him and strangle him.
But that's what he used to do.
It was what he was like.
The second bit we pulled out here when he was on the Rush Hour was the brain fade. Now, I'm not sure what happened here, Jim.
Neither am I. He's in tomorrow, the Wolf, so we can ask him.
Ask him about the Coleman. And he's 10 goals he kicked in 94 and 2.5 quarters. On one
leg. Hey, thank you, Spud.
Very good, boys. Go on your Willis.
Stay with us. What was that, Bill? Just sort of trailed off.
What was that, Bill?
He's just...
Was that goodbye?
See you, Spud.
Bill's drinking a cup of tea as we speak.
having an Anzac biscuit.
Yeah.
What happened there, Bill?
I don't know, but Spud liked it. He couldn't believe it. He was walking out and stopped and come back in. He said, what happened there?
What did you actually say there?
I don't know.
Very good, boys. Go on here, Willis.
The next bit. Now, Spud, most of the time turned up, Jim.
Most of the time.
Some of the times he didn't.
Yep.
And he didn't make it in here one day. He was too crook. He lost
sick.
His voice, Jim.
He had.
So our CEO at the time, Ben Amafio, just gave him a call.
You told us you weren't coming in. And then you got it. Did you get a phone call from our boss, Ben Mafia?
I did. And I took umbrage to it a little bit.
Let's have a bit of a listen to how that phone call went.
Hello.
Spudder.
Yes.
Benny here, mate. How are you?
Good, mate. Yourself?
I'm a bit worried you're getting a bit of a head wobble up at the minute, mate. No, you're telling me you're sick. I don't know whether you're really crook or you got a vodka virus, because whispers are telling me that you're out in the town last night.
No,
you weren't doing a sporty or anything?
No.
You're not fronting today?
Well, I said to Luke, I can come in, mate, but my voice has just come good.
Yeah.
And, do you want me to come in?
Well, I think the boys have got something planned and they're going to have a bit of fun and they're really relying on you, and we're just worried. We just don't want you to let us down, mate, just because you got a little sniffle or something. You're a bit hard on that, aren't you, mate?
Luke, if the CEO wants me to come in and go on the radio, I better come in, I suppose.
I'll tell you.
Now,
Where were you when Ben rang you?
Well, I happened to...
Where were you? You were at home, were you?
Spanish Inquisition. Were you last night?
Were you home in bed?
I'll tell you what, if I see the scene, there it is there. I'll tell you what.
I was that crook. I was in the Fox Sports.
Yes. Oh, Spud got caught out there, Jim.
Again. Oh, magnificent.
Oh, no, my voice has just come good.
It's just come good.
We love him. And also this one here, a montage of Spud talking himself up.
A man's just walked into the studio.
Look at the big Spud Regis.
Spud Regis.
Look at the setup on him, will you please?
Have a look
and
at him.
And he's behaving appropriately too, Spud.
What does that mean, Spud? Have a glimpse
at him. We don't understand what those fingers mean that you're extending upwards at us.
It's all about me, this segment. You think I'm getting ahead of myself, Bill? See, I've switched on. I'm fresh. There's an old saying, humility and victory in defeat. I thought, stuff it. I cannot even feel my feet walking on the ground. I don't even have to push the button on the elevator now when I get here. They're waiting for me. Still the 2001 finals winning coach, but I'll move on. Obviously, Triple M is rating number one, the football.
No doubt about that.
And Fox Footy won the Astro Award, so there's a common denominator there, but anyway, we'll move on.
Oh, man.
Oh, we love him. We love him. Yeah. Fantastic.
And that is what Saturday will be about, Bill.
Exactly.
We will go for an hour and a half and just revisit some of the funniest stuff. I've had people send it to me, like in grabs off YouTube and things like that, saying, you got to play Spindle Shanks when Gez called him microphone.
What about Troy Luff?
Troy Luff, I'm still here, Luffy.
I'm still here, Spud, wasn't it?
It was the funniest things ever. So there'll be a heap of that Saturday as we farewell but also celebrate, I said, one of the all-time greats. Nice to see you both. Of course, we're beginning Damo, the celebration of Spud.
Yeah, we are.
And we're going to continue that, of course, Saturday, an hour and a half of some of the more entertaining stuff you'll ever hear, because that's what he was, as well as all the other amazing things, an incredibly entertaining broadcaster.
Absolutely, wasn't he? He had that sense of occasion, didn't he? And he needed to be part of everything on air.
Yes.
Even when it didn't involve him and shouldn't have involved him, he had to be part of it. But I always, as it unfolded, and as we sort of got to know him better, Jim, and he got it to the point where it didn't matter if it stuffed up. And on so many occasions, it was better for us, anyway, for the radio, if he did stuff up his planned gag. And I reckon that was his true genius, because he got it to the point where whatever he said, it was going to work in some form, either for him or for us. And either way, he was going to be happy with the outcome.
Very nice article, AFL Live, by the way, Damo, which did a great job of talking about your relationship with Spud, but all of our on-air relationships with him, and just how different he was, but how uniquely humorous he was.
Yeah, it was, Jim. And I mean, it just started, didn't it? It was every day, obviously, but Saturday mornings usually about 6:45. He got up pretty early, and he'd probably had his bike ride already by then, but the phone would start buzzing about them, Brownie, on a Saturday, and he'd had plans, and he'd have multiple plans trying to work out which ones would work, which ones may not work, but he always gave the impression, at least initially, that he was just talking to me and me only. I knew full well he was talking to the others as well, trying to bring me down as well. And then he got so confused that the group text messages, he forgot that there were four or five recipients on the return, and everyone got what he was saying about them anyway. So we all knew it was coming, didn't we, Jim, by the time 12 o'clock rolled around?
And so easily gettable too. Like, I'd drive off from where I live, and Spud lives very close. You know, the Frawley house wasn't far from where I was. Drive along Beach Road every Saturday to get to the Rub Knife. And every time I'd give it the, oh, what about the traffic along Beach Road? I said, you know, those cyclist lycra-wearing wankers just taking up one of the lanes. Spud would go, yeah, how bad are they? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I'd go, Spud, you're one of them. You do it every day. He just forgot that he was actually a cyclist himself. But you played under him for a season at Richmond. Tell us what that was like.
There's so many funny stories you could tell about being, and it wasn't a great season. Obviously, we ended up on the bottom. But there's obviously the Brad Ottens one where Brad Ottens thought that Spud was being locked up as well. Spud went down to get him out of jail. But he had to catch a cab down there because he'd already had a few himself that night, Spud. Yes. But one of the funnier ones I ever saw, and we're out in the track one day, and David Roden, one of the great gentlemen of AFL football, was playing with us at the time, and continually late. He was just 10 minutes late, 15 minutes late, miss a meeting, and Spud had lost it. Spud had given him enough leeway, and he goes, all right, everyone come in here, and this is as D-Rod's running out of the rooms, and he has to run. We're probably over the other side of the oval, so he's got 150 metres to run before he gets to the group. And Spud's like, okay, because we all had heart rate monitors on with the watches. Yep. Everybody, take your watch off. So everybody took their watch off. Now go and put them on D-Rod. So about 10 watches up one arm, 10 watches up the other arm. Oh, no. He goes, D-Rod, now go and run laps and make sure you do them in good time.
10 watches on either arm. But you were in the room, the famous when he brought the pump.
The under the pump.
Held it above his head.
Yep. No, nobody knew what he was talking about either. Like, he's put this pump above his head and he's gone, what am I? And he tells it beautifully because he had to say, what am I, at least four or five times because nobody really got it. That was the genius of Spud, as you said. Nobody's got his jokes, but they worked.
And what about the time when...
And he was...
Under the pump.
Under the pump. Yeah.
It was an old air compressor that he held above his head.
Just and explain we just it a bit better, no?
Bill, radio craft, Bill.
No, a bit of radio craft.
Thanks, Bill.
And Bill, we discovered too that he was telling that story sometimes three times a week at the various sporties he was doing in the cashies. Yeah. And then Justin Kaczynski came in one Friday, I think it was, or Saturday, whenever it was. And he was on 199 games, and there was, at that stage, no guarantee he was going to get to 200. Yep. And then he had a good relationship with Spud, and he raised it on air. Spud, how many times have you told that story this week? Spud turned on him and genuinely had this moment of bitterness that I hope you don't get to 200 games. It's just a... Get him back.
What about, and we don't want to cannibalise too much of what would be discussed Saturday, but one of my favourite ever stories of Spud, and the mayonnaise truck that Spud used to bring to our story was extraordinary.
Yeah.
He flew down with a group of businessmen to Bunboogle to play in a corporate golf thing, and quite frighteningly, the pilot on the way down forgot to put the landing gear
out. Right.
So they belly landed on the airstrip next to Bunboogle. Spud trod over four blokes to get off first, just in case the plane was on fire.
Yeah.
And I'd been told this, Nave. Someone rang me and said, you got to ask Spud about the plane landing. I reckon it might have been Lowy, actually.
Lowy.
I reckon he rang me, got to ask Spud about the plane landing and ask him where in the queue he got off on the plane. So he said, gee, Spud, that would have been pretty bloody frightening there. No land without any... Oh, mate, it was a crash and bang and we bloody landed and... I said, so where were you on the plane? Like, because you must have been all in a sort of hurry to get off. Mm. Oh, no, I was up the back. I was one of the last ones to get off. I said, last ones? Yeah, I was down to one of the last ones. Anyway, Spud didn't know that we had two blokes from the plane ready to ring. So I just said, Spud, I'm going to give you one more chance to tell us where on the plane you got off. Anyway, so the first bloke rings.
Yep.
Spud pushed me aside to get off before me, and then the other bloke rang and said, mate, we were all in a queue trying to get off, and Spud pushed us all aside to get off first. Silence, and Spud goes... All right, I might have been off quicker than you. He couldn't help himself.
But he reckons that bloke didn't put down the wheels because... It was because of Spud. He was in awe of Spud. He's a mad Richmond supporter or St Kilda supporter, and he just loves Spud, and he forgot to put the wheels down.
There are literally purple thousands of stories you can tell about.
And we're only going to have 90 minutes, aren't we, Jim, on Friday when we do attempt to do justice to what was one of the great media careers.
It's must listen.
Oh, it is. And legitimately terrified of Gary.
That was the other intrigue, wasn't it?
So this big, rough, tough, 240 game, fullback that used to punch on with Gary Ablett and all that. Gary would just have to walk into the room with a slightly different opinion than Spuds, and he would change it.
Said yesterday when we're having those beers to acknowledge Spud, Jim, he could have an assessment of how a game played on the Friday night that in his mind was how it was won and how it was lost. Gary could come in and have the opposite opinion, and then that was Spud's opinion.
Right. Straight you're right, Gary. Within 20 seconds.
No, you're right, Gary.
5 seconds.
You're right, Gary. No, you're right, Gary. Yeah, all,
he held the line for a good 20 seconds.
All he had to do, Gary, was just shift ever so slightly in his chair just to turn around and look at him, and whatever Spud was about to say about Gary wasn't said.
No, it was just brilliant. Yeah. So we're going to have some fun on Saturday at 12 o'clock. Make sure you're listening.
Some good feedback, Jimmy Boy, from our very, very good listeners, Andrew Jackson, Randy Package. Good to have you boys back. Looking forward to Saturday, Arvo. Tough time for all listeners of the Rush Hour and the Rub. Hearing Spud always made you smile, which is spot on. Plus, he has given us a lifetime of memories. Much love to you both and stay strong. Thank you, Randy. Very nice.
That's good. Glenn Disher, heartfelt condolences to all you guys and, of course, Spud's family, and that is the most important thing. Beautiful, beautiful people, the Frawleys.
Adam Ford, great tribute yesterday and again today, boys, about your good mate Spud and many times with him.
Pete Thank Wickham, you. Thinking of the Frawley family and all his mates at this sad time, feels like we've all lost a mate. And we do.
Loki's one of our favourites. Still remember Spud's contest. Remember this, to put a boy on?
Yes.
To carry his bag on a Saturday arvo.
I do remember that.
Yeah, that was funny. And the butcher, a bloke who worked in the butcher's called up. Spud spent the next 5 minutes telling this bloke what meat he had to bring in on air.
Now, brilliant. Now, Bill. We would normally do the joke to finish our show, but we're just not quite ready to do that.
No,
our minds aren't quite ready to go there. So what we thought, because we loved working with Spud so much, and the thing I loved about him more than anything was when he got laughing and couldn't stop. It just used to happen, and it was so infectious.
You laughed a lot.
So this time, Bill, we had Jared Grant in. Of course, we used to call him Spindle Shanks because he had these legs that were like spindles. And then during the course of the interview, we talked to him about that.
Yeah.
And then Gaz leant in and said, well, what do you think about the name Microphone Head? Because his head looked like the fuzzy bit on the top of a microphone. Anyway, Spindle just stopped talking because it became awkward. It occurred to us that he didn't know people referred to him as Microphone Head. So as we went to the break, Spud couldn't wait to point out that Gaz's question had missed the mark, but listen when he starts laughing because you just can't help but join in.
Just before I give the tip, I don't think Spindle Shanks took too kindly to be called Microphone Head.
You don't think he liked that one, Spud?
Spindle Shanks. We used to call your microphone head. He saw it.
I haven't heard that one.
Why the stuff do I have to come here and cop this crap? I'm trying to do the right thing by Triple M. He didn't even have to open the door and walk out. Don't worry about his tractor and his foot.
Oh, no. Come on, Spud.
Come on, Spud.
Spud's off. Look at him.
He lost.